from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Welcome back. Happy Friday to all of you. G. Scott is off today. He is finally, we had to convince him. It's hard to do, but we had to convince him to take the day off. That guy never stops working. Felix Bunnell is in with me this morning. Good morning, Felix.
Good morning. Time for big hour number two. No, yep. Wait, that's the other show. Sorry. Whoops. Turn off the echo.
That's the show that starts at noon. Although my echo is still used on that show.
That's not fair. Wait a minute.
I know. So this is the time that we usually do our three things that you need to know at 10 o'clock. And we do that on Fridays with our friend and the host of the Michael Medved Show on KTTH. Michael joins us now. Good morning, Michael.
Great to actually be here. I'm taking G's place because we look so much alike.
Exactly. Same energy level, too. I know that you drink like 10 cups of coffee, too.
I do, yeah.
Okay, we're going to start with number one. So as you know, Michael, Governor Inslee has announced that our state is now on track to fully reopen on June 30th. What is your reaction to that announcement?
Yippee! Hooray! That's good news. What's interesting about this, though, is that there are lots and lots of people who assume that the governor has a big lever underneath his desk, and he can pull that lever, and then people can do things that they weren't doing before. I believe that basically the entire effort against COVID was to some extent undermined by both the federal and the national level, people trying to micromanage it, assuming that every single citizen of the state of Washington, and this is not a political thing, though there have been some particular problems in certain quarters. But the truth of the matter is you've got to bring people along with you. And I think the people in the state of Washington, in terms of wanting to actually go back to more normal life, are going to feel very relieved, and particularly with the withdrawal of the micromanagement of people's behavior. Well, you can sit down with five people for dinner, but you can't sit down with seven, and you can go to this kind of event, but you can't go to that kind of event. And for particularly for people who are churchgoers, synagogue-goers, mosque-goers, the relief on some of the restrictions, I think, is going to be meaningful.
I think you're right in so many ways, Michael. It's starting with the idea that this should never have become political, and it did. And it did very early on.
Yeah, everybody's responsible for that. I think the idea that saving lives, basically, which is what the vaccine is doing, which is what the restrictions were intended to do, the idea that this should be a hot-button political issue, it's sad.
But can't you blame the former president for that because of the fear that that was going to mess up his reelection attempt? Wasn't that sort of the root of the politicization? Not to pick on the poor guy. He's got enough problems, of course. But isn't kind of the root in that fear of it becoming an issue for the election, so they downplayed it so much back in February and January last year?
Well, look, I think it became an issue on all sides, and people were trying to play it for political advantage on both sides. And do I think that President Trump handled the COVID-19 situation perfectly? No. But I do think it's appropriate. And by the way, it would help Joe Biden and it would help us as a country to get more people vaccinated if he'd give President Trump some credit occasionally for Operation Warp Speed in developing the vaccine.
From the very beginning, we have been giving... Our show has been.
Yes, I know you have.
Yeah. Our show has
President
been.
President Biden's never mentioned it.
Yeah, and I think that that is a mistake. And I wish that we could trumpet the fact that President Trump also got the vaccine very early on. And I wish that that message would keep coming out, you know, for those who are still holding out.
Correct. And Melania got it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Barron got it, but I know that Ivanka got it and Jared got it and the whole Trump family. So all of these very conservative folks who were dubious about the vaccine, this is one area where everybody should listen to Trump and he could speak out about it more. But right now, again, this is not a political issue. This is an American survival issue.
Yeah. And for the record, your stance on vaccine is what?
My stance on vaccine is it should never be mandated. You shouldn't force people to get it. But we should do everything we can to get as many people vaccinated as we possibly can. I have too many friends and acquaintances who have actually suffered, some died from COVID. to not want to see everyone vaccinated. And also, I'm thrilled that now that I'm vaccinated, I can see my grandchildren again.
Me too. Me too. And we just had, I don't know if you heard, but Chris Sullivan joined us. He's still fighting COVID right now. And he's been out.
Bill Maher has just now announced that he's COVID-19.
Yeah. So it, as much as I'm excited that we're reopening, and I think it's been a long time coming, and I understand that too. I understand the apprehension too. And I hope that people don't, if someone decides they still want to wear a mask, don't give them a hard time that they still want to wear a mask, right?
No,
absolutely. And the other thing is, if a business still wants to say, hey, I don't want you in unless you are wearing a mask, that's their business.
It is. And just as it's their business to open it up the other way, this is not something that should be decided by the political process or the government. There was that horrifying story the other day about a store owner who got knifed.
Yeah, in Tacoma.
Yeah.
Both he and his son. By merely saying, could you please put your mask on?
I mean, really, we're a better country than that.
Thank you. Absolutely. Huh. Okay. And I know that Michael hates to... Felix... Michael doesn't like talking about former President Trump. anything we can do to avoid that topic, we're going to.
Number two.
Okay, so we need to talk about something that is really important and important to you. And the latest headline is that the Gaza Strip has now been pounded by hundreds of Israeli strikes from sea, land, and air this week, while the Hamas rulers have fired hundreds of rockets into Israel. And this is the fourth round of major conflict between Israel and Hamas since 2008. And once again, this is raising the specter of another devastating war.
Yeah, and it's crazy. The word is today, and from Israeli military sources, they believe that Hamas had 30,000 rockets accumulated, which and they've launched about 3,000 of them so far have been launched. Most of them shot down by Iron Dome, not all of them. There have been two small children who died recently, Israeli children, in addition to the casualties in Gaza. What I think most Americans don't recognize, and I think actually it's a very big bit of malpractice by a lot of our news media all across the board, is what are the origins of this conflict? Because this has nothing to do with 1948. This has nothing to do with 1967. This has to do with 2005. Israel took possession of Gaza, which had formerly been part of Egypt. It had not been ever part of an independent state of Palestine or anything like that. In any event, Israel took possession of it as part of the June War of 1967. And there were 21 Israeli settlements with thousands of residents. There was basically a peaceful, relatively peaceful situation. And the Israeli government in 2003 began making the decision and then implemented in 2005 to simply walk away from Gaza with no peace agreement. That was the problem. In other words, I don't think there's anyone on the Israeli side who wouldn't have favored some kind of an agreement with Palestinian authorities. But Israel simply left, and then Hamas came in and took over. And Hamas, of course, has always been a terrorist organization. And this was one of the biggest divisions politically in Israel between the center and the left and the right on what to do about the what's called the disengagement. And I think if there's one thing that is very, very clear in history is that Israel's decision to simply walk away from Gaza without negotiating any agreement for the people who then took over that strip of real estate, that was a disaster.
So, Michael, someone listening right now and maybe not so familiar with the history, et cetera, why do you think that we should care here? This is something that's going on there. Should it be their business? Why should we care here?
Why should we care here? Because Israel is the closest ally America has in that region of the world. I mean, Britain is a closer ally. Canada is a closer ally. But in the Middle East, there are very few nations that have been stable, that where the government doesn't. Now, you can say, well, Israel isn't stable. Israel has a tough time. Yeah, Jews argue. You know, we do. And so there are arguments going on, but it's been the same form of government. It's been basically a democratic elected government that America can rely on and that has had a consistent relationship with the United States being particularly helpful during the war on terror period. And economically, it was a great thing for Israel and a great thing for the United States when Israel began reconciling with its Arab neighbors, has peace treaties with Jordan, has peace treaty with Egypt, and then the Abraham Accords with Bahrain and the Emiratis, the United Arab Emirates, and Morocco. These are all countries now that have diplomatic relations with Israel. And for it to move in the other direction would be very bad for the United States at a time when we are trying to see what our long-term objective has been, is to promote democratic and humane values throughout the world.
What's going to happen, do you think, in the short term or the medium term with the conflict that's currently underway, the military stuff?
No one knows entirely. I mean, militarily, see, this is terrible for Israeli civilians, and as people who listen to my show know, my brother has lived in Jerusalem for 35 years, and he's very prominent and very involved in Israeli politics and the business community. And I have three nephews who are all on active reserve, some of whom have been called up. Mm-hmm. And so what do I think is going to happen? I believe there is going to have to be some kind of commitment. And again, if the world presses on this, it should be possible not to launch rockets against your neighbor, because that's the beginning of this isn't, well, who started it? It's very clear. The people, the terrorists in Hamas began launching rockets because of Israeli domestic disputes. And all I would say to people living in Seattle and Tacoma and our area is, how would we feel if suddenly there were rockets from Canada, right, that were landing and killing people and destroying schools and destroying property and disrupting lives? The airport is closed because they were trying to send rockets into the airport. It's there needs to be some kind of international determination that it is not acceptable, because of policy disagreements, to send deadly missiles to attack a neighbor.
Number three.
Okay, I think one of the reasons why we don't focus on stories like that is because there's so much going on domestically.
Of course.
And there's so much drama. So we would be remiss in not mentioning that earlier this week, Republicans removed Congresswoman Liz Cheney from her leadership position. And then we're also finding out that some members of the GOP are fully on board with downplaying what happened on January 6th. I don't know if you've heard this, but this is Georgia Representative Andrew Clyde.
I can tell you the House floor was never breached, and it was not an insurrection. This is the truth. There was an undisciplined mob. There were some rioters and some who committed acts of vandalism. But let me be clear. There was no insurrection, and to call it an insurrection, in my opinion, is a bold-faced lie. Watching the TV footage of those who entered the Capitol and walked through Statuary Hall showed people in an orderly fashion staying between the stanchions and ropes, taking videos and pictures. You know, if you didn't know the TV footage was a video from January the 6th, you would actually think it was a normal tourist visit.
Okay, wait. Were we looking at the same video?
Apparently not. Look, I don't know Representative Clyde, but this is embarrassing, and of course it's wrong. However, I think part of the instinct that he's talking about is something that many Americans, and not just people on the right, and not just people on the center, including the left, should share, which is that at some point or another, you try to figure out at what point do we move on and deal with some of the very significant problems and discussions we have right now. And again, President Trump was impeached over this. There was a great deal of discussion about his role. I think that, as I understand it, there are federal investigators who are looking at every kind of aspect. I know they've indicted more than 400 people. That will be carried out in trial. But do we really need a full-scale debate now in the middle of very, very dramatic reforms that President Biden is trying to push through? Do we really need a full-time investigation of January 6th?
I don't know that we need a full-time investigation of January 6th, but I think we need some acknowledgement of what the truth is and what are lies. And As long as we're talking about Liz Cheney,
right.
I actually appreciated she was on Fox News with Bret Baier.
For us as Republicans, you know, we have a huge set of issues we've got to be able to defeat the Democrats over. And we've got a huge set of policies we've got to be able to implement. We have to get people to vote for us. And we can't do that if we are a party that's based on a foundation of lies. I think what right. the former president's doing is dangerous.
But you and your colleagues, for at least in part, were elected to block the Biden agenda, which Republicans believe is too far left and could lead to other things. Aren't they correct to claim that your focus on the election and President Trump was somehow not going to get them to that goal?
No, I think that's actually wrong, Brett. I think if you look at where we've been since the election, since January 6th, we've had a real focus on making sure people understand that the Biden policies are dangerous.
Okay, that should be the focus if Republicans actually want to win elections. The one thing about talking about President Trump, like attacking Liz Cheney because she's disloyal to President Trump, or Liz Cheney attacking President Trump because of decisions that he made, it's 4 months since he's left the White House. Honestly, my life feels better when not everything is all about Donald Trump. I think we have had much too Trump-centric politics.
But you're unique in that because your party is still wanting to continue to be mired in Donald Trump.
I don't think that's really true. There are a few. But
Kevin McCarthy is one of them, though.
What? Kevin McCarthy isn't. He is very readily conceded, and he did this yesterday, that, yes, President Biden won the election. President Biden won the election. The election wasn't stolen. And what happened on January 6th, attacking the Capitol, whether it was an, quote, insurrection or not, technically, it was a riot. And it was a terrible riot, and it was one that was fomented by lies. Now, having acknowledged that, what other good does it do for our current debate to be constructive? I mean, right now, I'm encouraged President Biden's meeting with Republicans and they're trying to come together on some common plans for the country.
And I 100% agree with you, Michael. But the problem is things like ousting Congresswoman Cheney because she told the truth. And
she wasn't. And by the way, and this is something Kevin McCarthy has absolutely been strong on. He has said repeatedly that she was not ousted because she voted for impeachment. She was ousted because she wasn't sending a consistent message on leadership by coming back and picking this scab. And I wish she hadn't.
But she was staying that because you can't just move on if you don't address what is an outright lie and something that is still affecting this country because people are not willing to move on. You're ready to move on, but there are people within your party who are not ready to move on.
Yeah, it really activates a lot of voters get activated by exactly what Kevin McCarthy has done. Even the things he said about, you know, conceding the election yesterday, huge part of the Republican base loves what they're doing, loves it.
I honestly know I've seen those polls and I don't really believe them. I believe that the great majority of Republicans accept the fact that Joe Biden is president, accept the fact that he was legally elected. And one of the strangest things is we had a wonderful election, not in terms of the result necessarily, but in terms of the way it was conducted. State after state, Kim Wyman did a great job here in our state.
And you are acknowledging that, but again,
okay,
there are others who are not.
Okay, but you see, there are people on the Democratic side, too. And the fact that both parties, the Democrats have this H.R. 1, the For the People Act. Republicans have statewide attempts to redraw election law. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. We had a decent election with record turnout. More people participated than ever before. I think that's a good thing for America.
We have so much more we could be talking about.
Thank you. Hey, Felix, great to talk with you.
Yeah, same here. Good talking to you, Michael.
Michael, we always love having you here.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk again next week.
Look forward.
Thank you so much. Okay, still ahead. So we've got these new guidance elements from the CDC regarding masks, but not everybody's happy, especially some restaurant owners. And we're going to be talking to one of them. He's someone you know. Mike Lewis is going to be joining us next. You are listening to The G and Ursula Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show. G's taking a day off today. Felix Bunnell is in with me this morning. With Governor Inslee's big announcement about fully reopening our state on June 30th, we wanted to talk to a business owner about what that's going to mean for them.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
And what better person to talk to than our very own former colleague, Mike Lewis. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Ursula. How are you doing?
Good. I'm just going to be honest. I wanted to have a chance to chat with you again. So it's like, hey, let's talk to him about how this is going to impact his business. But I know that there are some concerns, and you were tweeting about them yesterday. Why don't you talk to us about them?
Yeah, sure. And by the way, hello, Felix, as well.
Oh, hey, Mike.
So my concerns are, one, I'm happy about this. I mean, any time that you get closer to something appearing normal is a good day, right? And I'm thrilled about this. The one thing that I'm concerned about is because the state has decided that, you know, there's a certain set of rules for people who are vaccinated, another set of rules for people who are not vaccinated, and the people who are actually going to be making the call on who's vaccinated and not are going to be frontline workers, people, service industry workers, people in grocery stores, whatnot. That to me is going to create, I mean, if you're a big fan of the Walmart no mask or masks interfere with my freedom confrontation videos, you're going to get a chance to see probably more of those because we're putting the people really not in a position of power of having to actually make that decision. If somebody walks in and says, hey, I'm vaccinated, you can't prove that I'm not, I'm refusing to wear a mask, well, then you've just got to roll with it. And I think it would be nice if we stuck to one clear standard or another, because what's going to happen is, I mean, effectively, is no one is going to be masked at this point forward.
Well, but I think the governor and the CDC have both said it really is up to the businesses, though, to decide what it is that they want. I mean, you could still, as a private business owner, you can still say, this is my rule at my business.
Sure you can. Sure you can. Absolutely. And that's probably what a lot of businesses, including mine, are going to do. But if you're noticing that because you've made that standard and the bar next to you or the business next to you does not have that standard, and suddenly, and remember, we've had a period of time of incredible money losses, what are you going to do? What do you decide to put at risk? Your staff or your actual business? And this is going to create an uneven standard among places. Now, of course, everyone can make their own standard. You could make a standard that you require a mask after the pandemic, right? But the difference is that because it's not universal, universality is what sort of protects you against other businesses having different standards. In addition to the fact that what's the people going to be making those decisions, it feels to me, are going to be people typically at the lower end of the wage scale. It's going to be people who are servers. It's going to be people who are not really, it's not the owners who get confronted with this kind of stuff. It typically is the frontline workers. And having watched enough of those confrontations in my place as well as others, it's a pain point. And so we're hoping that people are sensible about it and understand that places are going to have different standards in a situation where they're actually allowing us to have different standards. And hopefully, you know, we get a month of that and then everything, you know, once we roll into June, and hopefully it happens even sooner than that, everything is great and all of this just becomes kind of a distant memory.
Yeah, because isn't it eventually, I mean, if the vaccines are working so well that if you're vaccinated, you know, fully like 2 weeks after your last dose and everything, and you're in and you don't have a mask and you go to hang out in a bar and there's someone else there without a mask and they're not vaccinated, aren't they really only putting themselves at risk if they're not vaccinated? And this sort of pretty quickly becomes not exactly moot, but becomes a lot smaller issue about enforcement of mask policies?
Sure, absolutely. And that's absolutely the case right now. And in fact, our entire staff is vaccinated. So, and already at their sort of maximum immunity level. And so I think that people are putting themselves at risk, but everyone's comfort level is different, right? And so it's going to be, when you have an uneven standard, it just creates a tension point. But you're absolutely right. If you're vaccinated and you walk into a place, unless it's just completely packed solid, your risk factor is relatively low, according to the CDC. In fact, very, very low. And that's actually, overall, that's fantastic.
Mike, you mentioned that you wish it would just be universal. So it would just be universal, no one has to wear a mask, or everyone has to continue wearing a mask? Because I think that's what's been so hard, too. No one wants to be told what to do.
Right. No, no, entirely. So I would say yes to both of those. I mean, universality, honestly, is really what helps if you're in a business. So yes, if they said no one wear a mask, fine, we'll roll with that. If they said, you know, we'd like for everyone until we get to that 70% vaccinated rate, we'd still like for people to wear masks, we're good with that. The problem is when you create this sort of, it's like a weather system, right? When you create high and low pressure, you get all kinds of weird things happening from a business standpoint. And that's the thing. My main concern is the folks who are actually at the intersection point with the customer, those are the ones who feel most of the grief. And I worry about them. But I mean, overall, this is a problem within a great solution, right? I mean, the fact is that we have a whole bunch of people vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. My whole staff is. That kind of stuff is a huge relief. And so I'm thrilled about that. But I don't like it when regulations are vague enough or suggestions are vague enough that you actually put the businesses in the place of making the yes or no decision dependent on businesses around them as well, as much as on health and safety issues.
Can we then just put a plea out? So moving forward, if you see that there is a restaurant that says we still require masks, don't start insisting on getting your way and that you have your rights.
I agree.
Just like if you see a business that says, you know, you don't need to have a mask, just come right on in. Again, that's their prerogative.
Yeah.
And don't give them grief about that either.
On a happier note, are you seeing an uptick in business? Are you seeing an uptick in business? Are your customers sort of look like, are they buying more drinks, bigger drinks?
Well, the drinks are the same size, so that is that's always been the case. But I would say that yes, last night I would say was a big night for us because I think people see this thing and it's turning the corner. And the bar was as packed as it can be. Now we're still at minimal. You know, we're still sticking with the 25% occupancy because we have to. We're a small place. That is, I mean, fine. I'll take that. It looks like we're seeing a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel now, or not a lot of light. But yes, last night, I think a lot of places got busy because I think people are feeling like, all right, we're turning the corner. And plus, every day we have more people vaccinated. And so it's overall a really, really good thing. I'm worried more about the frontline workers than anything else, and just the blowback that they sometimes get when these regulations change.
Got it.
Mike, thank you so much. Mike Lewis.
Don't be a stranger.
Yes, exactly. And Donna wants you to know that she dropped off a letter to our listeners. Miss you, love you, and we miss you too. But
I miss you guys as well. And thanks, Donna. Yeah, I did get that. I actually have it sitting right in front of me right now. It's so nice to get an actual physical letter from somebody.
Yes.
It's terrific.
Anyway, best of luck with your business, and we'll check in with you soon.
Thank you.
Okay. Still ahead, scenarios, and Chef has cooked up something for us. We'll talk about that next. You are listening to the Gia and Ursula Show. Welcome back to the Gia and Ursula Show. Still ahead, coming up at 11:06, we agree to disagree. And one of the questions we told you is that the state of Ohio is going to be giving away $1 million to 5 vaccinated adults. Should Governor Inslee do that here? So that will be one of the things that Felix and I will be
doing. Duh.
Not so sure about that. Okay, but right now it is time for Scenarios, brought to you by Farrah.com.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what, so what, so what's the scenario?
All right, so let's stretch this mic out. I'm filling in for G reading today, so let's start off. Hello, G and Ursula. I have a pandemic-related problem that's coming to a head, and I need some advice. Over the past year, I don't know how many times I've talked to people, and we've mentioned something along the lines of, hey, we totally need to get together after this is all over. Well, now I might actually have to follow through on those once vague plans. In particular, there's a guy I work with who tried to make a friend date with me. He said, hey, let's go celebrate the state reopening. You free to go grab some beers the first week of July? I told him I was busy, so he proposed the next one. Dude, this is Seattle. We don't make specific plans for a reason. He's a decent guy, maybe a little annoying, but I just don't want to make any in real life friends with my work from home colleagues. How do I get out of all the plans I made over the last year? Ursula?
Wow.
Okay, what I would suggest is not continuing to say you're busy, you're busy, you're busy. And I would just be, you know, I like to say I would just be honest, but how do you be honest about that? I don't like it that much. Yesterday, it was so funny when we had this conversation about, I love having people around me at work. I am one of those that I get energy off other people, and I have missed that this past year and a half. So that is one of the things that I'm really looking forward to. And then someone tweeted, someone from the building tweeted, and I know she didn't mean it toward me, but of course I was like, wait, was this addressed to me? Because she suggested maybe that I don't like it so much that I would actually go visit her in her home. And I understand that. And actually, just for the record, I would. And but I think that you need to be upfront. I really do. I don't think you need to just keep putting them off. But if you put them off for a second time, maybe they get the hint. But otherwise, if they don't, just say, you know what? I'm just not a big social person, so I'm going to pass on that. You know, maybe we can do something when we're back at the office and go get a drink.
Yeah. I haven't had this problem myself for a long time because I have been turning down requests like this for so many years now. People know not to even bother to ask me. I'm not antisocial exactly, but I have my little tight network of people I see all the time, a couple close friends and my family and stuff and my dog, and that's kind of about it. So I think if the guy keeps asking, that's proof that it was a good decision not to get together with him in the first place.
No. Or maybe that person is taking you at your word. Because that is one of the most annoying things, too, is when people say, yeah, I'll do that. Let's do that. And then they never follow up.
Yeah, I don't say that. I just like, oh, yeah, I just kind of nod my head.
Offer
yeah,
in
change
the first
the subject.
Place,
change
knowing.
The subject. Change the topic.
You make
look
the
at that
offer
dog over
knowing
there.
Knowing that they're going to refuse.
But you don't
and Ursula,
know that. What?
I gotta say, your advice is I'm just not a social person. Well, that's like saying it's not me, it's you, basically. I'm social, but just not with you.
You don't meet my standards, exactly.
In other words, yeah, I'm just kind of, I'm considering what I just said. Like, how would that go over? Well, you know, sometimes I will be nice about it, but sometimes I can be blunt. I'll just do it with a bit of a nice tone. I'm trying to think how you would do it, because it is annoying if you keep putting people off. Or what's even worse is you say yes to a date, and then you cancel at the last minute.
No, you can't do that.
Okay, don't do that.
That is bad.
Don't do that. And I've done that in my past.
I did that up until my early 30s or late 20s, I think.
Yeah,
and I just gave up.
I think you just need to bite the bullet. Like, bite the bullet, go out and have some beers. Like, I understand the hesitancy, because I kind of feel this way in all social situations, but then I end up having an actually good time when I get there. Like,
and
you might
don't think they're all thinking you're
yourself.
A decent guy, but a little annoying, though, while you're there with them? No, I'm just
well,
that was a joke.
I know that. I don't need confirmation.
But how are you guys going to feel? Because both of you have described yourselves as introverts, and you've kind of liked this whole pandemic situation for that part, in that it was okay and there's a reason to stay home or not to socialize that much. So how are you going to readjust, or are you?
Who, me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, it's business as usual. I mean, I'll adapt. I'll be fine. I sort of, you get to a certain age, you kind of know how to get along and not, you know, I don't want to make anybody angry or be mean to anyone, but too old to sort of do stuff I don't want to do or spend my time doing things I don't want to be doing. So the trick is being nice about it. And that's always takes a little bit of effort, I think. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, of course.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe don't take my advice and say, yeah, I'm just not social.
Yeah, I say it's not my cup of tea. That's nah. Yeah, or I'm, you know, I gotta arrange my sock drawer or something. I don't know.
Okay, text us at 989-973. I bet you guys have better advice than we came up with. Okay, still ahead. We agree to disagree. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show.